Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is April 25th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this video recording. I especially want to say I really appreciate those of you that are here today, because we forgot to send out a reminder message, and that means that you guys have this on your calendar, and it's just it really means a lot to me that you guys find value in this and that you're here. Those of you that are listening to this recording, I always appreciate that too. I also appreciate the feedback and thoughts and emails that you send. Got a couple this week that I really appreciated and value. It's nice to know that people are finding value in this. So thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
Kelly, right. I have one.
Hey, Jen. Good morning.
Hi.
What's up?
Good morning. Happy Thursday. Okay, so I literally just got off the phone with my brother-in-law, and this is probably kind of really weird, unusual, but, you know, we have talked about kind of being alert when you're in homes and things like that. We've talked about when we run appointments with elderly people and so on. So my father-in-law, we've been concerned about little health issues with memory loss and possibly getting scammed on a few things and whatnot. So he happened to have somebody in that was looking at his furnace. And, you know, he was talking, he's a talker, and as he's talking, gets a phone call. And it's somebody that told him that he won two cars. And all he has to do is give them the bank information. They'll go ahead and they'll withdraw $300 per car as a down payment, $2,500 for the transportation fee, and he gets two cars delivered to him.
That's a great deal.
Doesn't this sound great?
That's
awesome. This was just after last year he won the Publishers Clearinghouse and called and told everybody. Thank goodness he called and told everybody, because we were able to put a stop to it. So as the furnace guy is listening to this conversation, and, you know, father-in-law hangs up and says, oh my gosh, I just won two cars, and he's so excited about it. And the guy's talking to him and just kind of playing along with it. And then he says, hey, you know, I'm writing down paperwork. And he says, hey, do you happen to have like an emergency contact number, you know? And so he gave him his son's name, and he's like, okay, very good, very good. Then called up my brother-in-law and said, hey, you know, I was in the house, this happened, not trying to butt in, but if this was my parent, I would want somebody to call me. So, you know, I know there was a situation we had, Joan, many years ago, where somebody had fallen and was very hurt. Watch out for our elderly.
I remember that. Wow.
Oh, my, that was awful. But, you know, watch out when you're, be alert when you see those things. If there's a way you can play it in, this furnace guy, I mean, wow, you know, for him to be that quick-witted to think of just a way to, hey, we like to have an emergency contact. You have a child, you know, that was amazing. So just be alert.
Yeah, no, I think that's I mean, talking about over and beyond too. I remember that when we had hired the lady, I mean, she literally, you know, we talk about health and saving people's lives. She literally saved the lady's life. She got there and the lady was unconscious on the floor, I think. Am I remembering that correctly?
She had fallen
She had a sales appointment. The door was ajar. So she, you know, looked, and there was the lady, and she was able to call 911 and get her help, and still made the sale. No, I don't. That's not true. They
took care of her dog. You know, she took her dog over to a neighbor's house. I mean, she was able to.
She did do that. Yeah.
It was amazing. So.
Anybody else have anything? Thank you, Jen. That was very, very good. Anybody else? So I did want to remind, and I saw this on Facebook, somebody put it out there on their, one of the companies that shows up on Facebook posts, and I was scrolling through and I thought, wow, this is something that we probably should announce to everybody on the call. They, on their ad, said, hey, it's fire hydrant season. And I thought, yes, it is. And this is something we have talked about on this call before, but just a reminder for those of you out there that this is an excellent time to reach out to those customers who might be on community wells or public water supplies, because this is the time of year that they do tend to flush those hydrants. And when they do, there's a couple things that can happen. You can have, of course, back siphoning. Right, and this is something, if you have those cross-connected drains out there, then it is potentially, you know, there's potential of sucking stuff backwards through units, which highlights the importance of code-approved drains and air gaps and making sure you do not have the cross-connections on your drains. But also, when they flush those hydrants, it can definitely stir a bunch of stuff up in the delivery systems, and that can get into the, you know, sometimes the cities send out letters saying, hey, if you have water treatment equipment, bypass it. Filters are going to be clogged. You're going to get some service calls because of this stuff, and unfortunately, those things aren't going to be covered under warranty in most cases because of sediment and damage and those sorts of things. So just be aware. This is something to keep, you know, be aware of. You can probably find that information out by calling your local municipality and find out when they are going to flush those lines. And, you know, sometimes they'll be aware. Like I said, a lot of times they send out a letter, but people don't see them a lot of times. You know, they don't even know they're there. So anybody running into that right now or run into that recently?
I did. As a matter of fact, last night somebody says, is anybody else's water brown? Which in Waterford it usually is brown, but they're like, anybody else's water brown? And everyone's like, well, they posted on Facebook a million times that, you know, they're flushing the hydrants. And he's like, well, not on Facebook very often. So, yeah, if you know, that definitely we run into that.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Anybody else have anything? Do want to let you guys know that in 2 weeks, I've got to look at the schedule in the calendar, but in 2 weeks I will be in Washington, D.C. with the Water Quality Association. And I think we are still going to do a live from D.C. call on that day and have a topic, but it should not interfere with the schedule. Usually we don't get started on that day until about 10 o'clock, so our first meetings. But once we get there and we know the schedules, then I'll just a heads up that there's a possibility we may cancel or move that call. So
all right, DC, yeah. DC is Tuesday and Wednesday. Fly in Monday, and yeah, DC is Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, then I shouldn't be a problem at all. Shouldn't be a problem at all. I will be home. Actually, I do get home really late, so I'll be on the call just dead tired, right? Because I think I get in about midnight when I get back in, so I'll be whipped. But it's okay. It'll be fun, and it'll be super exciting and super fun. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that again. So, all right. Let's jump into our topic. And I'm going to go back to the basics today. I know we did not send out a message on this, but I'm going to go all the way back to the basics on this one, okay? And we're going to talk about question-based selling. And the reason I wanted to talk about this today specifically is because I had an opportunity recently to do some sales training with a company that had several salespeople. And now, to be fair, a lot of them were not officially salespeople. This is one of those companies that is moving towards having their service and install technicians begin to sell as well, which I see more and more. You know, we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago in terms of the way, you know, the way so many of us are hiring and training salespeople. But even with them. So this was not them. These the people that I was working with were not technically, you know, they weren't officially salespeople, but it doesn't matter. I see this with salespeople all the time when I'm out there working with them. And the one thing that I really notice when we're training is how few questions are getting asked at the beginning of the presentation. And I just wanted to spend today talking a little bit about this because sometimes we get in our routine, those of us that, you know, are doing sales or going out there or even doing service or in talking to a lot of different people, it's easy. We know our material. We know what we're talking about. We're good at it. We know how to we walk into this house and we see it's very clear the problems that they have. We identify those. We know exactly what solutions to recommend, and we jump right into it. Instead of spending time diagnosing or asking questions. And the example when I'm training, I always give. We've talked about it on this call before as well. Is of a doctor. You know, when you go to the doctor, the very first thing they hand to you when you go to the doctor is a clipboard, and that clipboard has it's got several sheets of paper on it with tons and tons of questions on it, including how you're going to pay for it. Some of those questions are very personal. They're questions that you just don't talk to the average person. You're not talking to your best friend about some of these things. But we go through and we fill out these questions, right? And then we hand the clipboard to the receptionist. The nurse takes you back, you pee in the cup, they weigh you, you go in the back, they take your blood pressure, your temperature, you put the gown on. The doctor comes in, goes through this clipboard, re-asking the questions, reviewing these questions, and then spends time, diagnosing you, probing you, poking you, looking in orifices, you know, but diagnosing. And here's the question that I always ask. Let's say you've got a $5,000 deductible on your insurance, and the recommendation from the doctor is that you have a procedure done that's going to eat up all of your out-of-pocket deductible, $5,000, right? It's going to eat that up. If the doctor spent 90% of their time telling you why you should get that procedure and only 10% doing tests or asking questions or diagnosing you, what might you be apt to do?
Get a second opinion.
I would think so. I would certainly get a second opinion. I mean, anybody else disagree with that, that you might be apt to get a second opinion, especially if it's a new doctor that you'd never talked to before and they spent 90% of the time telling you what you should do and only 10% diagnosing? Anybody disagree that that's likely what might happen? So what puzzles me is that I don't understand why salespeople or sales professionals even do not grasp the concept that if they are doing the exact same thing, if they're walking into the house and spending 90% of their time telling the customer what they should do and only 10% asking questions or diagnosing or really finding out what the customer's needs are, and testing the water and doing a plumbing assessment and those types of things. It's puzzling to me that they are surprised that so many people want to seek a second or even a third opinion, which is, you know, looking at competitors. They're going through and looking at other options. If customers are going to trust you a lot more if you have spent the time asking questions, diagnosing, and really delving into what their needs are. And we've talked, there's so much to talk about with this on what questions to ask and how to go about asking the questions. And we'll kind of delve into that a little bit here. I'd like to open this up for discussion for a minute. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you agree with this assessment that this is important? How do you go about asking questions? What do you do? I know there are some managers and owners on the call here as well. how do you train your people to ask these questions? You know, what are your thoughts? Or am I just wrong in that this is not important at all? You can say that too, although I'm going to seriously disagree with you. But you can tell me. It's all right. Anybody?
Hi, it's Michelle. Just from a customer standpoint, I would think that it would make me think about what's important to me with regard to this sale or getting this in my home. And it may open up things that I wasn't thinking about before, because that's what happens when you ask, when the doctor asks you, well, how do you feel when you're doing exercise? And you might think, oh, well, actually, I feel like I can't breathe well. So when you ask the person, well, what does the water look like here, or how does it smell, or how does it taste, it might be things that the consumer wasn't in the forefront of their mind, but it helps them understand the need or more of their want to have that in their home.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Michelle. Anybody else?
I think it also helps with the diagnosis of what you need to recommend. But not only the diagnosis, but it helps them to better understand what you're recommending. And there's so many questions, and we talk about the sensitive questions, like what is your budget? You know, budget is one thing. And, you know, if they say, well, we only have $800 because that's what we thought at Home Depot for, then you can work your way up and explain the difference in subtle ways throughout your visit. And not only that, but one of the biggest things that we've been talking about recently, and this was actually brought up at one of the conferences, when a finance company was talking, was somebody said, how do you present the financing without embarrassing them? And if you use the question, are you looking at, you know, purchasing outright, renting, financing, if you have a rental option, how are you looking at doing this? And a lot of people might say, wait a minute, you have financing. Maybe they can't afford it right now at this time, but if there's financing, they can. Or maybe there's something else that they want to spend money on, but the water treatment's really important also. And if you have financing, and they might not even realize that you do. So,
yeah, I always say, are you looking at monthly investments like renting or financing? You know, you knock it out,
right.
you ask the question, and you're giving information through the question at the same time. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the budget is one that people shy away from, you know, but that's why I point out that the doctor asks it right out before you've ever talked to the doctor, they're talking. And the truth is, if somebody truly does only have a budget of $800, then we can't just assume our customers are lying. Well, I only have a budget of $1,000. I'm going to take them at their word, okay? And maybe I have a system I could put in for $1,000, probably not. But if I'm there truly to help them and I'm there really to serve them, you know, then that's good information to have. Something, by the way, I would rather have way at the beginning of the presentation than after an hour later, after I've gone through and done everything. And then I'm going to get the, well, let me think about it, which is basically them saying, that's a lot more money than I expected. So I like to get that part out of the way and you get that. Anybody else have a thought on this? That, you know, the importance of questions or your thoughts on how to ask questions or what question to ask?
Kelly, one question that I found sometimes was helpful was to ask the customer, is there anything else about the quality of the water that they don't like or that they've noticed before I start drawing conclusions based on what the initial call had to do with, because sometimes I have to backtrack if I do that, because it changes the whole game plan depending upon what they say and say, oh yeah, there is this other issue. And in some cases it doesn't, but in some cases it does. And it's a lot easier to get that whole ball of wax in front of me initially before I start drawing any conclusions.
I think about the time I lost the sale. It's one of the only one I ever lost in my entire sales career. Not true. But one that I can point back very specifically to why I lost it. was I had a house. It was a new house, new construction, and they had been in the home for probably, a month or so. And I went out to talk to them, and boy, it was so obvious. They had a ton of iron already, even after the short time they'd lived there. Everything was stained up like crazy. I knew the area. They had a ton of water hardness, and I started talking about our softener. And I was so excited about it. And you know, wow, this is going to be really good. This is going to handle all of this really good. I tested the water to make sure that it was all, I ran the water through my mini and made sure that it was all clear water iron, which means that the softener that we had was going to handle it fine. And they were asking a ton of questions. They were asking me a ton of questions. And I always say, he who asks the most questions makes the sale, right? So they were asking me a ton of questions. I was so excited. They were excited about the product and its unique features. They were interested in it. They were looking at it, everything. We spent a long time. I really connected with these people. I really liked them. And so when I left, they said, well, give us, you know, it was almost time. They had to put the kids to bed and everything. And they were like, well, give us a little bit of time to think about it. And we'll get back with you. And I don't like the whole big pressure, high pressure, you know, closes and everything. I mean, there certainly, had I done a better job of asking questions, I don't think we ever would have gotten to this point. But anyway, I left almost positive I was going to get the sale. I mean, feeling really confident I was going to get the sale. And I called and followed. I sent them a thank you note. I called. I followed up with them. They wouldn't return my calls. So one day, probably, I don't know, a few weeks later, I'm driving by and I see the guy outside working in his yard. So I stop off and I'm going, hey, what'd you guys end up doing for your water? He goes, oh, you were great. Sorry we didn't get back with you on that, but our parents were giving us a water softener. We were so interested in the one that you carried, and when this one, if it ever breaks, we're going to buy that one for sure. But what we were really interested in was the reverse osmosis, the drinking water, and they actually had bought that from a competitor, somebody who probably came out and took the time to say, why am I here? What are the issues? Who asked the questions? I left there feeling like an idiot, because it's such an easy question to ask. And I happen to know that we could have gotten them, in my opinion, a better reverse osmosis system for less money if they wanted, you know, and compare. And I just really felt like I had let them down. I mean, they didn't feel that way, you know, but I felt like and it was all because I didn't diagnose. I didn't ask the questions. And I mean, that's one of the ones that I lost in sales that I can directly point to. Anybody have an experience similar to that? So there's a couple, if anybody wants to delve in, because I honestly believe this is probably the most important component of sales. I think that we have to remember, and am I guilty of this as much as anybody, even to this day. I'm sitting here on this podcast, on this call, talking about the importance of questions, and to this day, I still have to force myself to remember this concept, okay? Getting a lot of background noise there. I don't know if you guys, whoever's moving around there, maybe hit mute if you could. But the most important thing to remember here is that we have two ears and one mouth, right? Which means that when we go into this customer, we've got to spend a lot more time asking questions and listening to their answers and diagnosing their water and doing a thorough plumbing assessment. It's only then that we are going to be, you know what, if we do that, here's the thing that is so, it's pretty basic, but when you think about it, they will tell you exactly what they want to buy and what they need. Even if they don't know what products you carry, what the features are, those features are way less important than making sure you're recommending the right thing. And they will literally tell you exactly what they want and what they need. If you just ask the questions, they'll tell you that. It's like they're almost writing it down for you, you know, if you just ask enough questions. Is there somebody driving right now? I'm hearing, I don't know if you guys are hearing that, but We're almost done here, but if you could. What's that?
I'm not hearing background noise.
Oh, you're not? Okay, that might just be me. It's possible that it's just me. Sounded like somebody was driving or moving around. All right. So, there are a couple books, if you want to delve into this, or a couple things, a couple places that I would recommend if you want to know kind of what questions to ask. My favorite author on this topic is Tom Freeze, who wrote Secrets of Question-Based Selling. And in my opinion, it's in my top five sales and management books ever. It's really, really good. I just think he speaks very realistically about how to do this, about what questions to ask. I think he's less old school than a lot of the other sales trainers that I've read, or I've never actually seen him live, but I love his material. I love his books. So that's Tom Freeze, Secrets of Question-Based Selling. He's got several versions out, but it's just a great book. It's pretty easy to relate to what we do here. Another one, Tom Hopkins, is always one of my go-tos. Now, Tom Hopkins, when you listen to Tom Hopkins or read Tom Hopkins, he is one of those old school guys. And for me personally, he's phenomenal. But there are things that I listen to or read with Tom Hopkins, I'm like, that doesn't work for me. You know, it's a little old school, little traditional sales. A lot of people still do it, you know, and you may get a lot of value out of it. But his the way he diagnoses and asks questions and recommends finding out what the customer needs. In fact, if you look up Tom Hopkins sales questions, I think just probably Google that. You'd probably find tons of articles or short snippets of it. Or if you really want to delve in, How to Master the Art of Selling Anything is just a really, it's a great book, in my opinion. And then the other one, one of my favorites, is Jeffrey Gittimer, who wrote The Little Red Book of Sales. And he's one of my absolute favorites as well. In fact, you know what? I need to go back. You can find this call on my website, emotivevitality.com, but we had the opportunity to interview, we interviewed Tom Freeze as well. He was on the call. That was pretty cool. But Jeffrey Gittimer took the time to join us on our call. God, it's been easily 10 or 12 years ago. But it was such a great call. And I will try and sit down. It's in the archives on emotivevitality.com. But I can probably try and put that up on our on the new podcast platform. So when you're looking for them, you can find it. By the way, I just noticed, speaking of the podcast platforms, I noticed this last week that it's still pending on Spotify. So if you're looking for this call, the MV Pro call on Spotify, it might be up now, but it still says it's pending when I submitted it for some reason. I'm not sure why, but you can find it on iTunes or you know, Apple Podcast or YouTube, or there's most of them you can find. So if there's one, or as always, if you want to directly subscribe, we put the RSS feed up on the website on motorvitality.com as well. But anyway, I'm going to try and find that Jeffrey Gittimer interview, which was really good. But his book, Little Red Book of Sales, he's just great. He's straight to the point. He's not politically correct. And so, you know, he leaves it up to us as readers to decipher the politically correct part of it, but he's just straightforward and he's great. So those are my three favorites. If you want to kind of delve into this topic and kind of learn a little bit more, it's where I formed my opinions. But, any final thoughts? We got about 1 minute left here. Any final thoughts on this topic or there's also an excellent book, Flowing to Success. I don't know if anybody's read that, but that's definitely the one you should buy. You can get that, you know, go to motivevitality.com and click on that and buy that if you want. So, but anyway, anybody else? All right, so with that, thank you, everybody. I really do appreciate everybody joining. Let me know your thoughts. Send me an email. Give me a call. But everybody be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kelly.